Speaking of poop, what brand are we now sponsored by of kombucha? Crazy.
I wish. Been
gone a month? Kombuch bucks? Kombucks?
God, if we were sponsored by kombucha, it's like, you don't even have to give us money if you just, like, gave me kombucha.
I will do this podcast in the fucking toilet. I will do it there. I will do it anywhere.
They're airing here from the toilet.
You're like the big reverb in like my bathroom.
From the toilet, let's talk about Smash Mouth.
And that small, quiet rip of toilet paper. So disgusting. So, as you can see, it has been a long time, Catherine. I would gander a month. And by the time this gets out, maybe two.
You didn't have to. If you could just like lower your voice, please.
Oh, no. Just whisper our faults. So Catherine and I have been quite busy, and life has just gotten in the way. Isn't that right, Catherine?
Life is just what a tough little thing, you know?
Can't even formulate a sentence, right?
No, I can't.
Oh, man. But we do promise, in quotations, with an asterisk, promise to pump out episodes much better on our bi-weekly basis. Hint, hint, point, point. till the end of the year. So, Catherine, how have you been, man?
I've been how like... have you been? I mean, you know, I feel like for me, over my lifetime, I haven't been doing great, but I feel like compared to how the general population has been doing ever since the pandemic hit, since I'd say birth. I'm about average.
Since you came out the womb, you've been pretty okay.
Yeah.
Pretty shitty.
You know, just like, whatever.
I think September is maybe the worst month of the year.
It's not a great month.
It's not a good month ever. It's just that
cold.
The summer to fall transition... 9/11, it's just not a fun month at all.
It's darker for longer. You can start feeling just like the little hints of seasonal depression.
Yeah, it's big, sad boy, sad girl vibes. The moment we see clouds.
Like the sad music starts coming back on, or the summer bops, you know.
The summer bops, you know, having to blast Bright Eyes every waking moment of your life.
Well, you know what? Apparently, Dwayne The Rock Johnson recently released a song. Or no, it wasn't him. It was someone else. Fuck, who was it?
Vin Diesel.
Thank you. I don't know why I got them confused. I'm like big
right,
bald.
Too bald. But the other one is like has more of a dad bod, and like The Rock will never have a dad bod.
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't know why. I think I was reading about The Rock doing something else the other day. But apparently he released a song with, what, Tyga?
Tyga or Tyco?
Tyga? I think it was
Tyga. Tyga? Oh, man. Dude, Tyga will like release a song with anybody if you call him.
Well, and I was listening to it, and I'm just like, this song tonally doesn't feel great to listen to right now. Like, I feel like
does
everyone...
Does Vin Diesel just say, I am Groot the entire fucking song?
Well, I just
song.
Feel like everyone's depressed. Like, it's the song you release in May when, like, summer is coming up and you need, like, a fun, like, song to blast
so
in the
bored,
windows
man.
When it's, like, hot outside or whatever.
100%.
And it's like, woo, pool party. And now it's just sort of like, we're in a pandemic.
Yo.
And, like, it's not hot
so
anymore.
Vin Diesel
everyone,
with the pool
I'm
party
just depressed.
Anthem?
Like, I don't want to listen to it.
Oh, man. Dude, Vin Diesel with the pool party anthem, though?
Not gonna lie, it was stuck in my head for maybe like 2 minutes. Shit. Until I switched to some random TikTok audio.
Bright Eyes. You listen to Bright Eyes.
It was Bright Eyes. You got me.
Big Bright Eyes jokes here. I have not heard the song, and I kind of holding off because I'm 100% certain that's gonna pop up on the Fast and Furious 9 soundtrack. I'm not even kidding. He's producing,
is,
so
is
he
the
can
9
do
coming
wants.
Out is that happening soon?
9 is coming out next year, and I think if I'm correct, I think 9 or Fast and Furious 10, they go into ready to add a vocal effect. Space. Didn't see that shit coming. What other like world, like you've already gone to Tokyo, you've already gone to Cuba, there's nowhere else to drive. And you know who's going to be in Fast 10? 100%. Elon Musk. Tesla cars, Tesla ships, Tesla rockets is all sponsored everywhere. Pure all
oh
the SpaceX.
God. Fast and Furious, but it's all Teslas.
It's one big Tesla ad. Mm-hmm. It's like the YouTube ads you can't skip. You have to watch them.
That's wait, what so Fast are you implying be. That we have to watch Fast and Furious 10?
Yeah, bring your ad blocker to the movie theater.
I don't know. I think I've successfully not watched the Fast and Furious movies for like most of my life.
So I was talking to my friend a while ago on Twitter, and he was just like, Too Fast, Too Furious is like his favorite one. And I was like, I forgot that was a really good one. I'm going to give you a voice.
It just sounds like a meme to me.
I'm going to give you a voice clip to like inject into here because it's one of the most funniest scenes Paul Walker's ever done. So I won't even like recreate it. Just like play that clip. And I will send it to you after we're done with this. But it's grade A acting. It's grade A. I promise you it's so worth it.
Sure, Jason.
Ellen. Let's talk about Ellen for a quick fucking sec. Raise your hand if you knew Ellen was a douchebag. It's obvious. She hates doing that show, man.
Oh, yeah.
She fucking
hates
it.
We know Ellen's Game of Games is literally just her trying to get reparations. She's like, I just want to make people suffer.
I want to be very clear that if Ellen was black, we would not be so forgiving.
Oh, 100%.
Straight up. My friend tried to agree. No, my friend on Twitter was like, no, like, she's just a bad boss. Like, this could have happened to anybody. I'm like, you're fucking dumb. Yeah. You're so fucking dumb. She got away with a lot of shit.
Yeah, she did.
And she was very apologetic. Still has her show. Still has her show. And it's just like, you know, we're just here to talk about it. And she was like, I don't understand why people don't look at me. Like, I don't know where that came from. I can kind of understand that.
Yeah.
I can kind of understand that some producer was just like, hey, better not look at her. Kind of fucking with like lower PAs and shit, telling them not to look at her. So nobody looks at her. And so that's the lore.
Yeah.
You know. And so I think she kind of just had shitty people around her.
And I don't think she's the kind of boss that would go encourage building relationships with like PAs or anything like that. Like, I don't think she's that kind of boss.
No.
But no. I would believe that maybe it was like a lore thing and not necessarily she specifically instructed everyone not to look at her.
She also like there were like the stories of how she would prank the cleaning people in her house.
The pranking like, in general, I'm just like, I think you really need to chill.
It's you know what I realize? The people who prank other people are generally white people.
Yeah.
Like minorities don't prank each other.
Oh, I don't like. I've never liked pranking. Like, you know, people did the Practical Joker show and stuff. I always hated that. Like, I genuinely hate watching like prank videos and things like that. I hate it. Like, it's painful for me to watch any of those, and it always has been. I do not enjoy the concept of pranking, unless it's like really like really minor stuff. You know what I mean?
I'm also an idiotic straight guy that just likes really dumb shit. Like, if you could tell, like, if you just look at me, you can tell I used to really like Jackass. Like, it was very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Jackass gave every 12-year-old, like, that I knew around us the dream of doing stupid shit and being famous. Yeah. And now people make careers out of it.
Yeah, and now they were the first grown-ass ones, men acting like idiots and becoming famous.
Ellen. Famous. Yeah, that's what TikTok's for, to be honest.
Oh, yeah,
so,
100%.
TikTok. I love TikTok. You know, oh my god, balloon challenge!
I spend so much time on TikTok. I need you to know that. Like, I spend hours.
Dude! I hate, there's nothing worse than seeing sad TikToks, like tragic TikToks.
Oh, I don't watch those.
This is the fucking worst.
I don't fucking watch those.
I'm just like, why are you recording like your mom dying?
I'm on TikTok for serotonin and serotonin only.
and kombucha.
I'm loving all the debate ones, though. The debate ones are really fun.
Oh my god, man. Dude, I don't even want to talk about that.
If I wanted to feel emo, I would just turn on the news. Like, that's not why I'm on TikTok, you know? Like, I don't want to watch sad TikToks.
Oh, god damn it, man. We talk about this shit after. But yeah, Ellen sucks. I'm not surprised. She can go fuck herself. She's the worst. She really sucks.
A summary.
She's really mean. Really a summary. Ellen sucks. We've been new. You just didn't want to face the facts. She's not really a nice person. You know, whatever. People are dicks. Here is some news. The Deftones Air Horn Sounds dropped a new album called Ohms. If that's not new metal, I don't know what is. dead ass, Catherine. I was going to text you the other day. I was just like, is she a Deftones fan? But yo, straight up, 10 out of 10. I'm not really? Even fucking, I'm not even joking.
I'll have to go listen to it.
I told my coworker, I was just like, yo, this shit is actually fire. I thought it would be shit. Like, I was like, oh, new album, whatever. But then Sean, if you're listening, you're probably not. He was like, dude, it's amazing, this and that. And it's a 10 out of 10. It sounds like the early 2000s version of themselves was brought into 2020.
Oh, that sounds
it sounds really good. Even like their whole production sounds really, really grungy, really, I don't know, really new metal. That's honestly the word. Smash Mouth got a lot of people to get Rona in North Dakota a while ago. Remember that?
Tracks. Yep.
That tracks. And then they found out that a shit ton of people got Rona because of that.
What did they think was going to happen? Like, what other option was there?
This is the reality we live in. You know, there's, I don't know. Like, you and your motorcycle boys drove all the way up to North Dakota to listen to All Star. And now you're on a ventilator. You know, really, who's the winner here? Because it's 100% Smash Mouth.
I recently found out one of my managers is a COVID conspiracy theorist, so.
Oh, my fucking God, man. Yeah. Why? What do they think? It's like, so 100%, correct me if I'm wrong, they believe China created this and spread this around.
He didn't say that, because I've heard other conspiracy theories. But he was like, you know, I'm just convinced COVID is a hoax. And I'm just like, and I was just okay. Silent. He's like, haha. Well, and he said something, and I'm just like, I have literally no response for you.
All right.
Bye.
All right.
Like you're right. My manager, and we have to work together, so I'm not going to get into this with you, but I'm
okay. You know what's crazy?
I'm not.
People would believe COVID was real if it gave them rashes, if it had them break out into hives.
Yeah.
No one likes that shit. Because it's gross. Like, smallpox, you want to get that? It's game over if you do.
It's gross.
So, the fuck ever, man. I'm so tired of that shit. So tired of it. But you know what I'm tired of right now? This is not a segue, by the way. This is a whole another piece of news.
Well, you shouldn't say, well, you know
what. I know. Well, yeah, now what?
You know what I'm tired of? Talking about the 2000s. We're still here.
No, oh, my God. Shut the fuck up, Catherine. Dude, we passed 10,000 hits, 10,000 listens. Applause. We did it. Took us 2 years, but we did it. That's crazy. This is the one project. As you know, I do a bunch of other shit, but this is the one project I can commit to 100%. Because we don't do this every fucking day. Mm-mm. YOLO, that kombucha looks good.
It is so fire. Big easy booch. That flavor I have is jam and ginger.
That sounds
ginger.
Like a euphemism.
It's jam and ginger flavor, ginger, Meyer lemon, and hibiscus. And it is
big
fire, let me tell you.
Big easy boocha.
Big easy boocha.
Someone calls their vagina that. Or their penis head that. Somewhere in the world.
That'd be a great easy nickname for someone.
Big easy
You're
booch.
Called big easy booch.
Easy booch. That's a biker's nickname.
Oh my God.
So did you hear about this? And I'm really fucking mad we're not included in this. There's a Woodstock 99 film coming out on Netflix, a documentary with never before seen footage of the hellscape. Why weren't we included in this? I don't fucking understand. You know, I'm quite frankly, I'm offended.
I too am very offended. How
I am
dare
offended
they?
With a capital O.
We're the experts on this event that we were not present at.
We were not there. We were not there. I was seven. No. Catherine
was
three. She was three. You know, it's
so clearly I'm an expert on Woodstock.
What the
99.
Fuck, man? Who the fuck do you think you are? Just like have us in a Zoom interview, like dude. Limp Bizkit killed it, man. They fucking wrecked.
The Limp Bizkit though.
Dude, Limp Bizkit though. Break stuff, plates. Shit. You know what you wanted to do? You just wanted to break stuff.
We would be so unuseful. They'd sit down with us for hours and not get a single usable soundbite.
I know. Just a bunch of Gen Xers trying to, it's like, no, but it was so bad. I'm like, yeah, but corn, when they came out.
Corn, though?
Yo, yeah. Corn. Dude, my favorite fun fact is Red Hot Chili Peppers wanting to have a candlelight vigil, and they pass candles out to people, and they set shit on fire. So fucking stupid, man. I do love
that one, yeah. That was great.
You know what I do love? That
happened at the Smash Mouth.
I know. Could you imagine that? They burned down North Dakota. Mm-hmm.
Did you want me to finish your segue, Jason?
Yeah, I was segueing, and I was alley-ooping to you.
Okay, so start over, or I can cut it again. Okay, I'll say it. Talking about the 2000s.
We're not cutting that. This is so weak of us to do that. We're 50 plus episodes deep. What are we doing?
They've seen the real us now.
They've heard it. They've heard it. They've heard it. If anything, I know. So today, this is a long-awaited episode. Long. I've been putting it off. We've been putting it off, but mainly me because I'm the one writing this shit.
Yeah, let's be real.
So really been putting it off. But today we talk about the phenom, the talent, the queen, the immeasurable talent that is Jennifer Lopez. Applause for Jennifer Lopez. Applause. I won't go too deep into her bio. Plot twist. It's just so dense, man. Her history.
Yeah.
Her history is so dense.
If you don't know the basics of J-Lo's bio, then you need to educate yourself.
Honestly, J-Lo is the American dream.
Yeah.
You can quote me on that. Dead ass. She's a goddamn American dream. Latin American, grew up in the Bronx, New York, nothing. Just wanted to perform, act, do it all. And then she fucking did. You know what I'm saying?
She did.
So it's pretty crazy. But we'll definitely be talking about some notable moments, notable songs, films, all that good stuff. So, Catherine, my question to you, really to us and to our listeners, what was your first exposure to Jennifer Lopez? Making it sound like a disease.
I want to say it was Booty.
Booty?
Yeah.
Damn, it wasn't 2014.
Wait, was it?
Yeah. 2014, man.
I'm trying to remember. I don't know. I mean, it was a while ago.
I was like, damn, so you went through your entire life throughout the whole 2000s.
I think I knew who she was and like she was on my radar, but like I didn't really understand until Booty, you know what I mean?
That's fair enough. I mean, I guess. Yeah. A lot of our older listeners, a lot of our older millennials. That's right. You are a millennial. You're not a Gen Xer. You are a goddamn... I work with people in their 30s that like, oh, those damn millennials. And I'm just like, you guys are literally millennials, guys. You guys are fucking in the goddamn age range. Yeah. What are you mad about?
Well, see, I have like friends like you and some other people we know that are older than me. And they're like, you're a Gen Xer or a Gen Zer.
People?
Yeah. Gen Zer. And then I have, you know, like my girlfriend is like, you're old as shit. You're a boomer. And I'm just like...
Yeah. Yeah.
What am I?
Big boomer vibes. No, but it's like they equate themselves to not being a millennial just because they were competent and they were competent enough to see Kurt Cobain die. Like, it's just like, no, you're a goddamn millennial. You're one of us, whether you like it or not. You just have less hair. That's it. That's all it is. So a lot of our older listeners... remember a thing called In Living Color, where Jennifer Lopez was a fly girl. She was a dancer. She wasn't anything. She was just a background dancer. Mm-hmm. But she could dance. And Lord knows what she still can at the young age of 51. That's crazy, young Catherine.
Age of 51.
I'm 28, man. I have no rhythm whatsoever. Mm-mm. Unless you get a few shots of me, then I'm just loose as a goose, man.
But you still don't have rhythm. It's just you're more free about showing it.
It's the illusion, Catherine. It's the illusion. It's all right. So, yeah, she was a backup dancer for New Kids on the Block, Janet Jackson. You know, she had quite a dance career before really breaking it into film. She really wanted to branch out. She's like, I just want to do more.
Well, she's a great dancer. Like, that's one of the first things I think of when physicality I think of J-Lo is like the dancing.
Her physicality is insane. Her physicality is really crazy. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into the movies, music, and all that. But I want to talk about two things that really impacted probably a lot of us and me. Her music and her movies, mainly. A lot. So what do you want to... I'm gonna give you the option, Catherine. Where do you want to start? Music or movies?
Let's go with music first.
Great. I'm kind of mad you did that because I got to scroll down. All right. So we're going to talk about music. All right. Her first album, absolute fire. Dance pop icon. This shit slaps. I don't care what any music reviewers has to say. This shit fucking knocks. Waiting for Tonight is my anthem. It's my fucking anthem, man. That shit is so good. I was like 7 when this dropped and just watching it on MTV TRL. And I was like, is that Selena? I'm just like, it's like, yo, that's crazy. And that's in the song and the green lasers and her dancing by herself and like the fucking river to the jungle dance party that no one else was invited to. It's just like her and like maybe 20 other people dancing to her song. Kind of egotistical, but I fuck with it. Big flex. I mean,
what would you expect?
Big flex. I know. Nothing else. It's an iconic video, an iconic song. It's simple. It fucking slaps even today. It has lasted the tides of time. You know, it's a goddamn bop, man. You know that song, right? Waiting for Tonight? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was real concerned you didn't. Super concerned. There's also a Spanish version called Una Noche Más. Una Noche Más, the Spanish version, which I have heard too, also bops. So just nailing all the markets, all the bilingual markets here. Yeah. You just have to do it, man. Waiting for Tonight is the anthem for when you're going out in 2001, you know, 2000. I don't know. But it's so fucking good. And I would, if I could, I would buy this album on vinyl. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I would second that. Slaps harder.
You agree, violent. Counselor? You agree?
I do agree.
You agree with the motion? You agree with the motion? It's passed. The motion is passed to buy this on vinyl. Let's talk about If You Had My Love, which is also a great underrated song. So J-Lo, before all this, before she got into music, she started doing movies. She had small roles here and there, and then did Selena, which we 100% be talking about this like crazy today. Before she was like, I want to get into music. And people were like, what the fuck are you doing? You shouldn't be doing that. Because if you have a music career and it doesn't take off, you've kind of ruined your whole career. But she wanted to fucking do it. And this woman can sing. She can sing. There's no doubt about it in my mind. She can fucking sing. She's a very talented vocalist. And so she went to this guy named Tommy Mottola, who's big label guy. If you imagine, I'm sure he looks like a very thin-haired man with big glasses and a striped blazer and a shitty tie when I hear that name. You can imagine it, right?
Oh,
just big studio exec kind of caricature. I assume that's what he looked like. Watch me be sued for slander.
I mean,
libel.
At this point, who haven't you slandered on this podcast?
I kind of wish you kept track of like a list or something.
Is that really what you want?
No, I don't want a paper trail, Catherine. No. We can get rid of all of this in a heartbeat. So Tommy Mottola, she submitted just like a demo song in Spanish. And he was like, why don't you try it in English? You know, see how that goes. And she started recording her first album on the 6th. And it was kind of crazy. He was just like, she had the looks, the reputation behind her. She had musical talent and she could dance. So for her first album, critics wondered why she would take launching a musical career. Because if it flops, you flop. Whole thing's gone. So imagine that moment. That you drop this first album and it's like, yo, what if this sucks? Like, it's over. It's a wrap. And then it blows up. And then your career blows up even more. that's like, this is the beginning of the takeover, the J-Lo takeover.
Oh my god.
You know,
the J-Lo, you know, era.
Because she was the J-Lo era. If anything, it's just crazy. It's just crazy, crazy, crazy. And so a lot of bangers on this. It was very R&B, Latin soul, Latin funk inspired. And she did a duet with, can you guess who on this album? Take a wild guess.
I don't think you want me to do that.
You're going to be like Kid Rock?
Smash Mouth?
Is it Smash Mouth? No, it was Mark Anthony.
Oh.
She did a duet on the first album with Mark Anthony. She is later in her timeline, she marries him. And they stay married for 7 years. And have two kids. They have twins. That's what it was. Hmm. Yeah. So that's later down the line. I was just like, wow, even then. And then on the same album, there's a small guy who produced a track on here called Puff Daddy, Sean Combs. And a lot of us remember when she used to go out with Puff Daddy. That was quite the era of time. That was quite the era.
That was like an era within the J-Lo era.
Dude, pre-9/11. It was fucking nuts. It was, what a crazy time we lived through, man.
How times change.
And so here's a fun little fact. And I remember this shit happening. December 27th, 2001. A little after Christmas. Her and Puffy were out of the club, New York City, chilling. And then Puffy apparently got into an altercation with some dude. And shots ran out. And they were both arrested because they found a gun underneath J-Lo's seat that was unregistered.
Mm.
And apparently, she was crying in like the holding cell that her career was over and it was all Puffy's fault, this and that, and they immediately broke the fuck up. Mm. Which I do not blame her for whatsoever.
Absolutely makes sense.
That is a done deal. I should ask my fiance how she would feel if I had an unmarked gun underneath her seat.
She would shot up a kill club. You. She wouldn't even kill me? Yeah, she wouldn't even break up with you. She would just straight up kill you and then take the insurance
just
money.
Just commit. Can't, no, it's not how that works.
You have life insurance? Lame.
Yeah, so in the end, she really broke up with him, and it was like the best thing ever. And I really admire J-Lo a lot, especially about her career. And just, she really wanted to bring out her Latin American upbringing. So she talks about how she didn't have a career in Spanish. She didn't start a career in Spanish. She started her career in English. And so it's only right that she shows her experience being Latin and American up here and bringing it out, of taking all of her influences of R&B, soul, dance, and just making it into one. And I think she's the perfect example that just takes like the whole melting pot of America into a career.
Mm-hmm.
That's why J-Lo's a goddamn American dream, man.
She is, yeah.
Yeah. That was very impassioned of me. We should just end it right here.
That's it. That's like the spiciest it's going to get.
That's not even spicy. It's like the goddamn truth. It's the goddamn truth. Love Don't Cost a Thing on her second album titled J-Lo. Does love cost a thing, Catherine?
I feel like love costs a lot of things. Like every time you get to a holiday or a birthday.
Your sanity. Mm. Your emotional toll.
Mm-hmm.
Just goddamn exhausting. So
you say with your fiance very close by to you.
She's 5 feet from me, she can't hear me. So those AirPod Pros.
That's AirPod, what love costs. Her AirPod so love costs. Pros.
AirPod Pros, brand spanking new. That's how much that shit costs. So during our hiatus, Catherine, aside from buying kombucha, found herself a girlfriend. And so this was, love does cost something.
Love costs a plane ticket during a pandemic.
To fucking California. That's how much that costs, man.
Shit's pricey.
So Love Don't Cost a Thing is iconic. The moment I hear it, you immediately know the lyrics. As if, look, I know more song lyrics than hymns. So it's like, I don't know my prayers. I don't know Hail Mary. But I do know Love Don't Cost a Thing. I do know that.
What really matters.
What really matters. Could you imagine just going to church and you crack open that sweet hymnal and it's just Love Don't Cost a Thing and like some Sean Paul lyrics. The Low Church, the Church of Low.
That's the best you got. The Low Church.
The Lo-Fi Church. Look, man, I'm trying. I'm freestyling. I'm trying. I'm not funny. Second album really continues off what the first album had that she brought up. She just expanded and just added more and did more. And it was really well produced. It was pop. There's nothing wrong with pop, guys. No. If you like pop, it's okay.
Pop is great.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Just
I've had to argue with people
Let
about this.
Enjoy things.
I've had to argue with people about this shit. It's the most stupidest thing ever. Like, pop is the most moldable genre there is.
Yeah. Everything.
You could add anything to it.
Yeah. That's why there's so many different subgenres of pop. Like, just let people.
Pop is just rice.
Yeah.
Pop is just rice, man. Right. You can do anything with rice.
You can.
Anything. You can do anything with rice.
You can make it bland and boring, but God, you can also make it amazing.
You can make it amazing. Straight up. Then the song Play. Have you heard the song Play?
Yeah.
Great song.
Yeah. It's about.
That's all I had to say. I really don't like the music video, though. I was watching it last night, and I was just like, wow, this is...
I don't know if I've
this
seen
is,
it.
This is... It is quite bad. It's okay. Just them in a party in, like, the future or some shit. Mm-hmm. It was, like, a green screen club. And I was like, oh, man.
In my opinion, one of the most groundbreaking music videos ever done was Turned Down for What?
Not wrong.
Right.
Not
it's,
wrong.
It's pretty groundbreaking, right?
It's up there. It's
yeah.
up there.
Yeah.
You can hate the song, but that video was actually crazy.
It's like crazy. It's so fitting for the song, and like it's really well done. Like it's insane.
It's incredibly directed, produced music video.
It's so well done. We actually studied it in my music video class.
No OK Go music video will ever top that.
You are so right. The way those things
get
go
it.
Viral every time, it's like, we get it. You do like elaborate stuff. Like, well,
imagine having to do elaborate shit hiding the fact that this is a bad band.
And that's the thing. So like, if it weren't for their music videos, who would listen to OK Go?
Dead.
I wish you guys could see the face
who openly,
that you just made.
Who openly says, I'm an OK Go fan? Who the fuck says that?
You sound like Jackie putting our friend Hannah on blast for liking Bastille.
Oh, Bastille's so bad,
she
dude.
She loves Bastille, though.
Bastille is so bad, man.
She owns so much of their merch.
It's so... I know. It's so bad. I'm like, yo, why are you, like, hounding over a wannabe Christian band? Like,
they're not even good enough to be Christian. They're just wannabe
I know.
Christian.
God damn.
Oh, my God.
It's not good. Hannah, if you're listening to this, Bastille sucks, dude.
Do you actually think she listens to this?
No. I don't think anyone listens to this. But we have fans!
We
crazy.
Have 10K listens!
You know what's crazy? The world will listen to us, but our friends won't even, like, answer our phone
it's
calls.
So true. Well, fucking I was telling my girlfriend about it. I'm just like, we hit 10K. She's like, are they all your dad? I'm like, my family does not listen
100%
to this.
100% it is not your parents. I don't think my parents know I have a podcast.
They do.
I'm sure I've mentioned it.
My dad keeps being like, I have to check it out. And I'm like, you really don't. And then he just always forgets. So, and I'm not going to remind him.
I heard Karina on the phone with a coworker and she turned off her Alexa and she was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was listening to the Beatles. And I was just like, oh, I just rolled my eyes. But she's older. So it's fine. It's okay. It's whatever.
She's old. It's
when
cool.
Like,
she's allowed.
Yeah. When Hold My Hand was that generation's WAP.
Well, oh my God. You know, so I saw a TikTok the other day that was like, oh, you know, like how the Beatles, they were like this huge, crazy boy band, like worldwide. And then like now it's become one of those things where it's like, and it was like mainly like younger women who love them. And now it's this thing where it's like men are like, oh, you really like music? Name like 25 Beatles songs or whatever. And it's like
25 Beatles songs.
No, but they were like, oh, is this going to happen with One Direction? Like 20 years from now, One Direction, it's like
when they reunite.
It's now like all the male gatekeepers of the music industry are now like, oh, but do you really like music? Did you listen to One Direction?
Who was the best singer in One Direction? There is a correct answer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not Niall.
Let's
sorry to break your heart.
Well, we all know Harry Styles is the most successful.
Remind me after this to talk about a One Direction thing I want to bring up.
Oh, God.
It's more, yeah, but after this episode. So, I'm real. We completely sidetracked. Jay, J-Lo, Ja Rule.
Yeah.
Ja-Lo. I'm Real, classic song during the era of Ja. Ja! Ja Rule, man. So imagine these. So imagine these like soft vocals over this like nice beat, and then you know it's just like blah blah blah, and it's and you just hear like growly Ja Rule. It's my favorite fucking thing ever, man.
So good.
What would you think? What would you say is Jennifer Lopez's most iconic song ever?
I mean, I'm biased. I kind of want to say it's Booty, but like that's just because
it's Booty. The one I that's noticed. Fine.
Yeah.
Booty. That's the one. That's your anthem.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bop.
Catherine was like, "Well, I have one, so it's
yeah, booty." I mean, you know, like I just she said on. Booty, and I said, "You right." What about you, Jason?
Yeah, it's there. Fuck.
Wait, so you think Booty is the most iconic song?
No.
Well, that's what I was asking. I said, what do you
well,
think?
That's like personal preference. Yeah. You know, that's like, I think it's the most her iconic song. I think it's an iconic video.
Yeah.
I think that was crazy.
Yeah.
Because we've never seen so much ass in one.
But which song of hers vision. Do you think is the most iconic?
I think Waiting For Tonight. I think that's just my personal bias, but I think the moment you hear it, you know exactly where you're going to shout.
Let's when be that real, chorus Jason. Is. This is not the show for objective opinions.
This is not objective.
That has actually, never been
no,
our
it is. No, it is. This is facts. This is all. This entire podcast is facts.
All facts.
All facts. All the bands we hate, all the bands we love, like all the emo shit, like that's all facts. Facts with a capital X. It's like. That's all this is, man. But I think, like, so on her third album, I only asked this to segue into something good.
Okay.
Third album, some music critics said that this is her most iconic song. Jenny from the Block is, like, the J-Lo song.
Jenny from the Block is pretty iconic.
I could agree with that. My personal thing is Waiting For Tonight, but Jenny from the Block is, like, the iconic song. Yeah. You know, and so
that's I was the just one that, like, you know the what? Second you said it, it immediately started playing in my head.
Jenny from the Block.
Like, I'm pretty sure I just listened to that song like a week and a half ago.
Used to have a little, but now I got a lot.
Yeah.
That is the American dream, ladies and gentlemen. That, and George Soros. George Soros is the American dream. I love a good Alex Jones to me, man. God. Water turned the frogs gay. You know, so that's kind of. My favorite thing about that album is the album title. Do you know what it's called?
No.
All right. It's like one of the worst titles. So it's called This Is Me, ... Then.
Okay. Okay, J-Lo.
Imagine her right now at that time. What do I call my album? And at the same time, she's trying to write fan fiction. And those are the first words she wrote on Microsoft Word 2000. And it was just like, oh, I think this will be it. This is me then.
Well, you know, she could have just been like, this was me.
Grammatically, is it correct? This is me, ... then? Or
is it the meaning, this is me, then
past tense,
or is it like this is me like as I was then?
I think as I was then, because if we're gonna get real deep here, if we really analyze Jenny from the Block, that's why it's her most iconic song. It encapsulates a lot of her story, her roots, pays homage to her streets, her block, quote unquote, you know.
Then I don't think it's grammatically correct, if that's the case.
Okay, so by that measure.
But I mean, album titles, I feel like, aren't known for being grammatically correct. Like, I feel like that's not the standard they're held
100%. By. 100. 100. So, Jenny from the Block, you did it, J-Lo.
Way to go, it. Man. We're proud of you.
Way to go. You did it, man. Then, let's see. Rebirth, 2005, Rebirth. I don't know what she needed a rebirth for. It's like she didn't go away. She was always there. What are you rebirthing from? Who rebirths? Was she rebaptized? Is that what happened?
I don't think so.
Oh, you know why? You know why? It's probably after the Ben Affleck thing. Probably after that, they almost got married. Mm. They called it off the day before the wedding. Ugh. Iconic. You know what that is? Power move.
Wait, which one called it
big
off?
Big power it move. Both of them, or was it specific? Her, 100%. Oh, yeah. Her, 100%.
I mean, 100%. Who would break up with J-Lo? Like, how
Ben,
does that,
Ben
how does
Affleck?
That even work?
Ben Affleck does not look like he would initiate the tough decision.
Oh, no.
I fucking said it. I hope he don't get famous and this comes back to haunt me. I like can't work with him or something. Be so
were
funny.
You planning on working with Ben Affleck?
He's just kind of chilling there. So, you... Shh. I told you that in secret, dog. Shh. Got big plans, bro. Yeah, Hold You Down, Rebirth. Como Ama Una Mujer. Her Latin album, Spanish album, produced by none other than her husband, Mark Anthony. Brr, brr, brr. Mark Anthony has Mark Anthony, no lie whatsoever, top five greatest voices I've ever heard in my life.
Really?
That man can fucking sing his ass off, man. Just like the way he can hold a note at a high register without going with a falsetto, like just holding it forever. You know, that dude's an amazing talent. Yeah, it's pretty good album. But there is a time where I just kind of there is a moment where I stopped listening to J-Lo's music and just watched her perform on screen, because I feel like during the mid-2000s this was like her time to shine through movies.
Yeah.
And through television and through animation and through other shit she was doing, like having a fashion line, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable.
She was busy.
Or having perfume, philanthropy, all, like, she was an explosive force, you know. She's one of those people that on set, if you're told don't look at her, she has deserved the right for you not to fucking look at her.
You're right.
Don't you fucking put your poor eyes on this fucking gold mine. How dare you?
It's me. I'm the poor eyes.
You're poor eyes. Poor eyes, clear eyes. All right, let's talk about her movies. Not all of those. Not all the movies, no. I'm not going to go real deep into Made in Manhattan trivia. We're not going into that. No.
Made in Manhattan is so good, though.
Which one is better, The Wedding Planner or Made in Manhattan?
I haven't seen Wedding Planner.
Ooh. Well, Made in Manhattan's better anyway.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's way better. It's way better. I said it. There is a correct answer to that. That question
where we have only objective facts.
And also Matthew McConaughey in that movie, my opinion, is kind of unattractive. His hair is bad.
I've never
he's
found
blonde
him
and
that
he's
attractive, but that's just
he's
me.
clean shaven. He's like young, he's like, you know, not young, but he's like there, but his hair is flat, curly. And he's got glasses, real shitty frames,
that nice
and like
look.
That oh my god, I mean, he's only there was like the late 2000s where he was like peak McConaughey.
I'll say, I like a lot of the things about the 2000s. The 2000s like fashion and like hair and styling aesthetic, yeah. is not one of those things. Like
aesthetic,
I really hope
things.
Low Rise never comes back. You know what I mean?
Dude, the world's got to see those sharp hips, Catherine.
Wait, have you seen did I ever send you that one TikTok that has those two girls that are like, I hear Low Rise is back, and then Genie in a Bottle is playing, and they have like these like muffin tops pouring over their jeans, and they're like,
yes, that's how it works.
And it looks terrible. They're not like bad looking people, but it's such a terrible look.
It's the Lord's work right there,
so
man.
Good.
It's the Lord's work. So we're gonna talk about the classic Anaconda. We're not going to talk about the shitty movie that Jack was. If you haven't seen that, don't watch it. It's not really good. But we all know. This is facts. You can quote me on Twitter, wherever the fuck you are. we all fucking know the greatest J-Lo movie that ever existed. It's not even opinion. This is facts, Catherine. Fucking facts. Mm-hmm. I know it. You know it. Your parents know it. My parents know it. The Lord up above sure knows that this movie is the greatest J-Lo movie ever, Selena. And now we end the podcast.
That's it. That is the end.
Boom. Boom. Greatest movie ever, a.k.a. Selena, the first movie to ever make me cry. Ever make me cry. I will talk about this movie sober. I will definitely talk about this movie drunk.
You won't shut up about this movie drunk.
I will never shut the fuck up about it. Because there's a lot of people who haven't seen it. And there's a lot of people who didn't really experience growing up with Selena blasting through the stereo all the time as a child. Mm-hmm. You know? And so, culturally, as a Latin man, this, as a culture, as all us brown people, this hit us the way white people were hit by Elvis dying and JFK dying. That was that grandiose levels of tragedy. Mm-hmm. That's how big this shit was.
Jeez.
All right? Because without Selena, if Selena was still here, J-Lo wouldn't exist.
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember you've gone on this rant before.
Yeah, that's on God. Like, I'm not kidding. Because this movie, to me, is J-Lo's number one greatest performance I've ever seen in any movie she's done. Number two is Hustlers.
Hustlers is really good.
So it's really just like nobody Hustlers. Else. Hustlers, honestly, she carried that movie. Yep.
Oh,
I didn't. 100%. I wasn't a fan of the writing, but like her character was just so fucking good. Yep. Nobody else to me in my mind during this time of 1998 could have played this role but her.
Yeah.
But apparently she did have to go through a rigorous audition, even though she previously worked with that director in a previous movie.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she was perfect, they made her go through crazy audition process.
Weird.
And there's also a new Netflix show coming out about Selena, which no one is on board with. And I'm just like, no. And the lead role is going to Susie Crabgrass from Ned's Declassified.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a word I haven't heard in a while.
Oh, man. Yeah. They've aged so well.
Oh, really?
They're all still friends.
I haven't really seen any of them.
Which is wholesome as fuck.
That is wholesome.
But to me, J-Lo was not J-Lo in this movie. It was, I saw Selena. I did not see Jennifer Lopez. When you watch this, all you see is Selena in every fucking scene. And, you know, and it's amazing to the production, to the music, the set design, the costume, the makeup, the hair, the just everything about it was gorgeously done, especially for a biopic. And for a biopic that came out so soon after her death, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was so good that, you know, really, anytime I watch this movie, I do cry at the end. Because mm-hmm. Dreaming of You by Selena is one of the greatest songs I've ever heard in my life. And it just hits you like a ton of fucking bricks, man. I've definitely cried to this song in my car. I've definitely cried to this song in public. I've definitely cried to this song when I watch this movie. And you just lose it. Mm-hmm. Because you feel you were on this journey with such an immense talent that was going to take over the world. And then she is killed at the age of 23.
I don't remember.
I'm a shitty fan if I don't remember what age she died on. Jason. Whatever. She was super fucking young. Just getting started. Just breaking out of that glass ceiling. And so this was the performance of a career that shame to the shitty racist academy that we all know to grow, love, and hate. That she was not nominated for an Oscar. Mm-hmm. This was fucking groundbreaking to me. And so the scene, there's a scene. Have you seen the movie?
No.
Fuck, man. All right. So there's so the opening scene is in the Astrodome in Houston. It's this big arena and it's fucking awesome. And in the middle was her stage. It was a rotating stage so everyone could see. So during the production, they were really afraid that Jennifer Lopez playing her, you know, is it gonna fit? Is she gonna sing? Is it gonna go well? And they got the outfit that Selena wore to that show the exact outfit. They fit it, all that, and apparently the moment she came out, cameras rolling, Selena's actual parents were there and her family, and they just couldn't stop crying because that's all they could see was Selena.
Oh, wow.
It was like the pitch perfect image. And the production, they had gotten, they handed out flyers to people to come to this movie set to shoot. And since everyone's a Selena fan, mm-hmm. 35,000 extras showed up for this concert scene. And so throughout the whole shooting, people were like sobbing. Because they were just like, we're at a Selena. This is not Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
We're at there. And people came up to her like crying, saying that like, that's all I see is like her. She was a perfect embodiment of like who she was.
Mm-hmm.
And she did the singing and the dancing. And this is where like it was just more proof that J-Lo was going to have a music career. Because she had pipes. She could fucking sing. And this was honestly, seeing Selena's, her career path was a precursor to how we see J-Lo now.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of music, dance, movies, fashion. Selena really wanted to have a massive fashion line, which she did, and it just ended very abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to be huge. She was going to be a queen, man. And so, to me, that to me is like the number one J-Lo movie. If there's any other movie you watch, it's totally fine. Like, enough. Don't watch Geely. Main Manhattan's great. Wedding Planner's okay. Hustlers is great.
Yeah.
Jack is bad. Jersey Girl, meh. Monster in Law is a fucking classic, certified. I saw that in theaters. It's fucking great, man. U-Turn is awful. Second act is boring. But other than that, Selena is like the fucking movie. What movie like of J-Lo's that? What was the first one you remember, and what was one that really like?
The only ones I've seen are Made in Manhattan and Hustlers.
That is a big time jump.
Yeah, and I saw Made in Manhattan like 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, man. Dude, that's a big time
remember,
jump.
Remember, Jason, you have to remember, when I was a child, I didn't watch movies. Like,
I just didn't watch movies. I know, man. It's kind of a shame, to be honest. And also watch The Cell. It's this almost art house horror film that she did, and I really wish J-Lo would do more because it was kind of ahead of its time in visuals and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, just watch it. She's really good in it, and like, it's just a crazy fucking movie. But yeah, Selena, watch. I could literally talk about this movie for fucking hours. Not really. That's kind of exhausting.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think you'd be too like emotionally drained.
Yeah, man, I would just be crying by the end of it. So we're going to talk about a little thing that's always very prevalent with J-Lo is her dating life. All right. I'm not going to mention any of like the lames that she like was with for like a year or some shit. Like, they're all lames. Puff Daddy, she was with 1999 to 2001. Shot up a club. She got arrested. Her charges were dropped. And she was like, I'm done with this shit. Like, I'm not ruining my career over nonsense with this fool. Then she went out with a backup crew dancer, Chris Judd. And they met on Love Don't Cost a Thing music video.
Love that.
Love did not cost a thing that time. Mm-hmm. And then we move on to the tabloid frenzied of Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. It was all the tabloids could talk about. They did Geely, which is heralded as one of the worst films ever created by man. It's a very bad movie.
Maybe I should watch it.
We fucking should.
I do love bad movies.
We are gonna do a Geely episode, by the way.
Great.
We are gonna do it. It's just like, I've only seen maybe 20 minutes of this movie and I just couldn't do it. They were supposed to be married. They were due to tie the knot in September 2003, but they called off the wedding the day before and officially broke up in January. J-Lo was just like, yo, this isn't my cup of tea no more. And then afterwards, that following June 2004, she started dating Mark Anthony. And then they got married in June 2004, because they've already known each other for years. They had songs together on multiple albums. He produced some of her songs. And they had twins in 2008. And they are still, they're still great, great friends after splitting up in what, 2016?
You said they were together for 7 years, didn't they? Didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, they were together for a long time. But it's like, you know, they're still cool. Like, they don't hate each other. Like, they're co-parenting.
Yeah, that's good. That's cool. It's whatever. Co-parenting is good. You know, it helps reduce childhood trauma.
Exactly. Especially when you're loaded. You know what I mean? So, and then she went up with this dude. This dude, this is a bad name. Don't ever name your kid this. This guy's name was Casper Smart.
Ew.
Casper is such a bad name.
Yeah.
FYI.
It's for the ghost and the ghost only.
It's for the ghost and for the ghost only. And so this young guy, Casper Smart, who was also a backup dancer, if I remember, but it was just whatever, man. He was kind of lame. And then the internet in 2016, I remember this shit. When there, J-Lo posted a picture of her and Drake like hugging each other on a couch.
Oh god.
And like the world almost snapped in two. Like, I just remember that happening, and like Twitter was a lit. It was just like, yo, J-Lo and Drake. and like the world was just like, what kind of songs is Drake gonna write from now on? Like, what's the new album gonna be like? Just all J-Lo inspired.
I mean,
she's gonna cry about
if
her.
I even saw J-Lo in person once, I too would write an entire album inspired by J-Lo.
J-Lo seems like a cool aunt.
Yeah,
she got big cool aunt vibes.
Mm-hmm. Well, but then did you know that after the national women's U.S. women's national soccer team won their second World Cup in a row, one of the players, Carly Lloyd, went to a J-Lo concert and she pulled her on stage and gave her a lap dance. Did you not know about that?
No.
Yeah.
Carly Lloyd?
Yeah.
Yo, that's crazy.
People have jokingly written Carly Lloyd J-Lo fanfic.
Every lesbian losing their shit.
Yeah.
Yo, like, that's crazy.
Don't you love that?
Is there actually J-Lo Carly Lloyd fanfic?
I think so. I've definitely heard people talk about ship it, but like as a joke. Like, they're not serious about it, but like just for fun, you know?
Dude, man. Yeah. What the fuck? So in 2017.
There's a video of it, so.
2017, she was in a relationship with now retired New York Yankee A-Rod Alex Rodriguez, and now they're a power couple. They're married now, you know. And have you seen her ring?
No.
It's like the size of your face. It's this rock. It's like the rock's like this big.
Jesus.
It's fucking massive.
I feel like it's just
and they're honestly a great couple. You can feel like the chemistry. They're a great couple. And they're fucking loaded together. So, wrapping it up, what have we learned?
I learned a lot since I previously did not know a lot. I learned a lot about her movies and her dating life, none of which I knew a whole lot about. Everything else I kind of knew, which is basically that J-Lo is an icon.
I should be a professor, man.
You should, yeah. But, like, you only teach courses on, like, J-Lo and nu metal.
Guys, today we're gonna learn about Korn's Issues album. So everyone,
you have a whole dreadlock PowerPoint, everything.
Everyone,
most of the
break
class
out.
Is just you ranting.
Guys, everyone, tattoo each other really bad tattoos right now.
Guys, okay. Today we're talking about Limp Bizkit. Everyone, go break some stuff.
Turn. I hope you brought your baseball caps because we're gonna turn them backwards. Terrible. All right, that is it for us today. We promise there's gonna be more episodes coming. Catherine, I meant to tell you this earlier. Do you know what episode is next?
I promise
it's good. So our next episode will be about Pimp My Ride.
Oh god,
we're gonna talk about Pimp My Ride.
Oh god,
I only had the idea when I was watching Twitch and some guy was like reacting to Pimp My Ride. I was like, wow.
God, that's a word. That's a phrase I haven't heard in a while.
We are going to count the amount of Xboxes and PS2s that are shoved into cars. We're going to count the amount of cars that have a pull-up TV. Not even plasma screen. This is prior to plasma.
I have a PS2. Should I shove it in my car?
You should shove that shit in your car.
I play it at stoplights.
Honestly. Play it at stoplights. Have, like, a generator in your trunk and have, like, the windows cracked open so you don't die of fumes. Yeah, we're going to count all the fish tanks that fucking appear in cars. Because what's crazy about Pimp My Ride is how cool these cars were and how quick these people went broke because of them.
Oh, 100%.
Or how their cars were stolen and all this shit. It's just like, I had my ride pimped in Crenshaw. I'm like, oh, fucking good luck, man. That car is not yours for much longer. That car is gone. Mm-hmm. So yeah, J-Lo, American Dream. Deserves a Ben & Jerry's ice cream flavor.
Yes.
Deserves a Kennedy Center award that they do. The big, like, art award that they give people. Mm-hmm. For, like, their career achievement, J-Lo deserves one.
Maybe 100%. Her face on Mount Rushmore, since I think it's a better representation of America.
Her cheekbones on those rocks, sharp.
Hell yeah.
Sharp. You couldn't climb on that. No. It would cut you. It would slice off your fucking arm. I would like to see the free fall guy climb that shit. I forget what that dude's name was.
I know, in that movie. From the documentary.
No. Yeah, the doc. The guy was just like, I like climbing rocks without safety. I'm like, yo, this is the most
Free Solo. That's what the movie's called.
Free Solo. If Free Solo wanted to climb on those, he can.
I'm good.
Sorry. There's no grip on those cheeks, bro.
See, I hold on to the railings and I walk up and downstairs. I don't trust myself like that.
J-Lo on, like, Mount Rushmore, but there's, like, a lot of contour. Like, the fucking... Oh, my God, man. I got to get out of here, man. This is All right. I'm out of here. We are out of here.
Good talk.
Goodbye. See you in 2 weeks.
Ew.
Ew.